Good morning, welcome to all, particularly our guests who join us here today for the offering of this Mass on this solemnity of the Most Holy Trinity. On the calendar of the Church, we've now gone into ordinary time, but on the Sundays that follow after Pentecost, today and also next Sunday, we focus on some of the core beliefs of our Catholic faith. And one of them is the Trinity, and another one is the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. So next Sunday, we'll be celebrating Corpus Christi, or the body of Christ. A huge thank you to everybody who took part this last week in the Totus Tuus program. Those eight wonderful young men and women that were with us that week. Every time I think that, well, we've got such a good team, there's no way the team next year can be as good, if not better, I get proven wrong. And that's one thing I don't mind being proven wrong about. The two teams are now in different places. One is at St. James Parish in Bartlesville. The other one is in a parish in the Oklahoma City area. So they and the other teams will continue out the summer to evangelize and to catechize children and youth in various parishes. So my thanks to them. My thanks to all of our adults and youth volunteers who took part. My thanks to the host families, the families who provided the meals, and also to the children and youth who took part. It's a wonderful time, and where their hearts to be set on fire. The team paid us a great compliment. They said to me more than once, "Father, your children are well catechized." It's like, why was, of course. But then I said, yes, now you find out they're catechized, now evangelize them. Set their hearts on fire. So it's not just a thing about head knowledge. It's about the heart on fire for love for Jesus Christ. So my thanks to all who took part in that this week. And also here at the Madeleine, we, the summer, and we don't so much slow down as we do shift gears. We have many things going on this week. Our Tuesday talks resume. Tuesday evenings, the focus is going to be on the Divine Mercy devotion. Information about that in the bulletin, in the code to look at the forum, on the forum website, the videos to watch, and then to come together on Tuesday evening to discuss. Our men's breakfast and Bible study resumes this Thursday morning. Also, our M&M group for our grade school children, they resume on Thursday morning as well. They'll meet throughout the summer on Thursdays, and the focus will be on Our Lady of Fatima. This is the centennial of that appearance to Mary with that message of hope. Of course, we also have Joe Fritsch's ordination on Saturday morning at the cathedral. So we pray for him in great rejoicing. My thanks also to Father Philip Cook, who was here last night for the vigil mass. He's one of the Augustinians over at Casher Hall. It allowed me to take part in the wedding yesterday of Rachel McNeely and Corey Waltz. Rachel, I've known her and her family for many, many years. I've known her since she was in grade school, and now she's grown up and is now married. And it was wonderful to be part of that event. It was over at Christ the King Parish. And it was kind of a record-setting event. There were 15 bridesmaids. I'm not kidding. There's photographic evidence. This was a great time. And afterwards, I was paid a great compliment. The 7-year-old flower girl came up to me, looked me right in the eye, and said, "You did a good job today." I looked right back at her and said, "And so did you." Because I was not the main priest. Father Brian O'Brien was the celebrant for the Mass and preached the homily and heard the exchange of vows. I was there to concelebrate. Now, one of the things I was asked to do at the rehearsal dinner on Friday night, as well as the reception after the wedding yesterday, was to offer a blessing. And part of that was that traditional Catholic grace before meals. And we make the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and we say, "Bless us, O Lord, in these thy gifts," "Bless us, O Lord, in these thy gifts, which we're about to receive from thy bounty through Christ our Lord. Amen." So we did that, and it was a wonderful time. It was an honor to be part of the wedding in this way. Now, my first experience with that traditional Catholic grace before meals came when I was young. As many of you know, I was not raised in the Catholic Church, and did not become into full communion until my early 20s. But my first experience of this kind of blessing before meals was when I was around 12, 14 years old, and I'd been invited over to the home of a friend of mine who was Catholic, And we were at the dinner table, and there were large family, and some of the older children had their boyfriends that were there and so on. But it turns out, what I didn't know, I was the only person not Catholic at the table. Now, in the Brooks household, the traditional grace before meals went along the lines of, God is great, God is good, let us thank Him for our food, amen, which still is being handed down, by the way, in our family. So that's what I was prepared for. Instead, I get the bless us, O Lord thing. And I was completely unprepared, totally caught off guard. So when they prayed it all together on cue, it sounded to me like, bless us, O Lord, these eyes gaze about from blah, blah, blah. I was just shocked. And then I look over at my friend's little brother, who's about 9 years old, and his sign of the cross went like this. And then reaching out to grab something on the dinner table. You know, it's kind of his idea was like, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, whoever eats fastest eats the most. That was kind of where he was coming from. He was immediately reprimanded by his mother. I have to say that. But that gesture of making the sign of the cross, whether before meals, that grace before meals or anywhere else, that blessing, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is not just a Catholic thing. We shouldn't think of it that way. Rather, we should think of it as part of the profound reality of our faith, particularly concerning the Holy Trinity. When we hear the word mystery, as we did in the opening prayer, don't think of it as like something unknown that has to be solved, like we're detectives. Rather, think of it as originally meant to be of a profound reality. The profound reality of the Trinity is what we celebrate today. The Catechism defines the Trinity as the revealing of God's innermost secret. And that word secret may be kind of intriguing. Our ears kind of maybe perk up. Like, oh yeah, we all want to be in on the news. That idea, like exclusive knowledge, you know, I know something you don't know, sort of thing. But we shouldn't think of the innermost secret of the Trinity in that way. Rather, think of it not as exclusive knowledge, but rather as the revealing the truth about the authentic nature of God. And one of the truths of the revealed first is that God is an eternal exchange of love between the Father, the Son, and with the Holy Spirit. Three persons sharing fully this divine life, this divine love. They share all the same substance. That's why in the creed that we will say together in a few moments of our basic statement of belief, we say that the Son and the Holy Spirit are consubstantial of the same substance as of the Father. Now, we look at this and we might be a bit perplexed. Does the math add up? How can we say that 1 plus 1 plus 1 equals 1? Which is what we do in the Trinity. I see some of you math teachers like, But we say that 1 plus 1 plus 1 equals 1, not 3. We worship one God, not 3 in the Holy Trinity. And this is a belief that people have struggled with at times, have mocked, have openly rejected, and still may not be well understood by professed Christians. And we, as Catholics, are Trinitarian Christians, that we profess the Holy Trinity. Now, there have been different ways over the centuries in which different people have tried to explain this. One is that of St. Patrick, that great missionary and evangelist to the people of Ireland, the image of the shamrock. The shamrock plant, one stem with the three leaves, three in one. Another example is that of Charles Wesley, the 18th century Anglican preacher, who used the image of three candles coming together to form one flame. Now allow me to offer a different image, a little bit more perhaps up to date. If you know anything about the periodic table, about chemistry, there's one of those elements that we recognize off the bat, no matter what kind of grade we got in chemistry. It's H2O. It's water. Two parts hydrogen, one part oxygen. And we know, from having passed chemistry, I hope, that we know that water, or H2O, this chemical element, can exist in three forms. As a liquid, as a solid, and as a gas, as water vapor. They share the same natural elements, or maybe the same substance, to use that word. But we know that they're the same. that liquid, that solid, and that gas, that water vapor. And this being Oklahoma, we're coming into the summer, we call it humidity. And, you know, we're going to have those days in the summer months. We walk out the door in the, at the beginning of the morning, and it's like somebody just throwing a hot, wet towel over our head. We know it's, oh, it's going to be one of those days. But water can exist, all one natural element, three different forms. If water can do this, why can't God? Three persons, all of one substance. The Trinity, also what is revealed to us, this great secret that is revealed to us about the nature of God, is that God is more, does more than love. God is love. And love, not as a sentiment, not as an emotion, but as we define in the Catechism through St. Thomas Aquinas, it's love is willing the good of the other, for the other's good, regardless of the cost, the sacrifice, and whether or not that love is going to be returned. Love is not just something that God does as an attribute, as a characteristic. Rather, love is who God is. That's what the Trinity reveals to us. In this eternal exchange of love, you have the one who loves, the lover, the Father, loving the beloved, the Son. And the love they share together is the Spirit. The other thing that is revealed to us, the second thing, is that we, mere humans, are invited into this community, this sharing, this giving back and forth of this divine love that is the Trinity. Jesus reveals the fullness of this truth when he says to us in John 3:16, and this, by the way, is the scripture quote that if you watch a football game and they're kicking the extra point, with a field goal, and somebody there in those seats are lifting up the big signs. It's John 3:16. This is what it is, that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son so that everyone who believes in him might not perish but might have eternal life. And as the church, we become part of this community of love. And it's not to be kept as an exclusive secret, like I know something you don't know. Rather, it is to be lived. It is to be shared with the world. We heard two Sundays ago, we celebrated the ascension of the Lord, that Jesus, at the end of Matthew's gospel, says, go and make disciples, or rather, go disciple others into this new life, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. For the Trinity is the profound reality that is the fundamental foundation of an authentic Christian life. It's not just a Catholic gesture. We're baptized into it, literally. Baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I bet you did before we began the Mass. You made that sign of the cross. You took water that's been consecrated and blessed, and you made that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit as a reminder that we are consecrated people. We are invited into the life of the Trinity. And you'll do the same as you leave this church. I wonder how many times, maybe you should count, how many times today will you make that gesture of that blessing, invoking the Trinity today, as well as that grace before meals. Divine love of the Trinity is revealed, shared with us so that we become members of it. As St. Paul tells us today, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. But I know at Mass today I threw you a curveball right at the beginning, because there are different responses. You say, the Lord be with you and with your spirit. Well, there are two other options for that, and I used option A. It worked at 8 o'clock. But I caught you all off guard a little bit, so that's okay. It's okay. Just like, you know, if you ever play baseball and you go up and you strike out or you pop up, well, it's okay. You get another chat. You'll get another crack at it. So don't worry. But that Paul offers that blessing of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. What greater desire, what greater blessing, what greater hope and love can one believer offer to another? That should be our prayer for each other as the church and for the world. For every Sunday is a Trinity Sunday. The innermost secret that we are invited into to live and to share so that we may have eternal life.